I am the living bread that came down from heaven. In biblical times, people ate around a common table. With whom you ate was just as important as what you ate. Dietary restrictions defined membership in that Hebrew camp. No pork, no shellfish. You ate with family. You ate with people who embraced the same laws and the same customs. If you ate with a stranger, you not only are offering a meal, but you're offering shelter, protection, and extended family status. Once you did this, it was more or less for keeps. Now just look around you. We meet the criteria for biblical dining. We have a common table. We have defined membership. We are a spiritual family. And as a family, hopefully we can offer spiritual shelter, protection, and make others feel that they are an extended family. Think about it. For the last four Gospels, including today's Gospel, we are dealing with spiritual dining. I would like to take these Gospels a step further and place them into our modern world by telling a true story. And in doing so, I hope that I can give a deeper meaning to the words, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven." Not far from Munich, Germany, is a picturesque town of Dachau. And for decades, it was a spot for artists and tourists. And of course, in 1933, all that changed. The Nazis took over Germany, and outside Dachau, they established one of the most infamous concentration camps. For over the next 12 years, over 250,000 prisoners were confined. And there is no accurate number of how many prisoners were put to death there. Today, Dachau has become a tourist spot again, but for a different reason. People come to visit the camp for a more meaningful reason. You see people walking quietly and prayerfully all around the grounds. And there is a museum and several memorial chapels there, including a Catholic chapel. Having visited Dachau several times, I can truly say it is one of the sacred spots here on earth. In his book, Swimming in the Sunshine, Franciscan Father Albert Haas, a spiritual writer, tells us about his visit to Dachau. And during the visit, he remembers that he paused to pray at the spot where Barracks 26 once stood. And this is the barracks that housed so many Catholic prisoners. The prisoners would receive one meal a day, and that consisted of a chunk of bread the size of a dinner roll, and of course, some watered-down soup. Each day, a Catholic prisoner would voluntarily sacrifice his or her meager bread ration for the celebration of the Eucharist. A priest would secretly come from Barracks 13, which housed the priest, to celebrate Mass for all the others. The chunk of bread would be consecrated and secretly passed around as communion for the prisoners. But before I go on, yes, priests did say Mass in the barracks. Their homemade vestments and other liturgical items are on display in the museum. And it is known that some of the prisoners were utilized as extraordinary ministers of communion to the other parts of the camp. So how does all this fit and apply to us here and now? Let's take a closer look at this story, and hopefully we can get a deeper appreciation and acceptance of and the mystery of that awesome gift of the Eucharist. Close your eyes a minute. Can you imagine what went on in the heart and the mind of a prisoner who just sacrificed his or her ration of bread, the only meal of the day, so that others could receive the Eucharist? Can you imagine what went on in the hearts and the minds of the prisoners as they heard the words of consecration, the same words that we're going to hear soon? Can you imagine what went on in the hearts and mind of the prisoners, knowing that this might be their Last Supper? What goes on in our hearts and mind as we walk along with our brothers and our sisters down the aisle at communion time to be nourished by that living bread that came down from heaven? And what goes on in our hearts and our mind the moment we receive the living bread that came down from heaven? Most of us receive the Eucharist each time we go to Mass, and we receive it without having to sacrifice our only meal of the day. Because of the readiness and the availability of the Eucharist, we just might slip into the habit of receiving it routinely and unthinkingly. I think it might happen to many of us at one time or another. I think to get around this, perhaps we need to constantly focus on our hearts and our minds on what is about to happen. We are not going to meet the Pope or some other famous personality. We're going to meet Jesus Christ personally. When the priest or the deacon or the communion minister says, "The body of Christ," and we respond with, "Amen," in essence, we are saying, "I believe that this is the same Jesus that was born in a stable. I believe that this is the same Jesus who died for us on that cross. I believe that this is the same Jesus that was present to those prisoners in Dachau. And I believe that this is the same Jesus that loves us, warts and all." This is the great mystery of our faith that we accept and celebrate each time we gather for the Eucharist. This is the great mystery of our faith that gives us hope for eternal life that we will celebrate in just a few minutes. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. What do you experience when you receive communion?